Welcome to Burr News Current Affairs Podcast with Jeremy Deacon. Listen at your leisure on www.burrnews.com.
Good morning and welcome to our latest Facebook Burr News Live interview. Joined today by Kevin Dallas, the new CEO of the Bermuda Tourism Authority. Welcome, Kevin, and thank you for sparing some time in your very busy schedule. I know you're jetting off left, right and centre last week and next week. Are you enjoying being back? You're Bermudian. Are you enjoying being back?
Thanks, Jeremy. Yes, being back has actually been fantastic. We've been home for a little over a month now, and actually settling back into Bermuda has been faster and easier than I thought it was going to be. It's been really fun to rediscover things.
Has much changed?
One of the things about Bermuda is that in 20 years, some things are frozen exactly in time, and other things are transformed, and that can be good and bad.
You're back as a CEO, as we said. Why did you want this job?
I always told people in London that this was about the only job I could ever see myself doing in Bermuda. Back when I was in college, I think I always wanted to do something like this. Actually, my first career choice out of college was to go work for a company that had worked with Bermuda on tourism in the 90s. And then I actually went to work for South African Tourism with them. So this was something that I always wanted to do. When Bill decided that it was time to move on, it felt like it was a little bit of now or never.
One of the reasons I asked that actually is because for Bermuda, this is a very challenging job because tourism is so important. Are you up for that challenge?
I think so. I think it's challenging. We suffer a lot from we don't always have the full support of the community. There's a lot of pressure here for us to perform, but I also think it's one of the most exciting jobs you could have in Bermuda. I think, as you said, the work that we do here is incredibly important. We have a real opportunity here to help Bermuda's economic recovery, and in particular to help that economy really touch the whole community. Mm. So I think tourism, more than any other industry, really does reach across the whole community. So, is it challenging? It's definitely challenging. Will there be obstacles along the way? Absolutely. But I can't think of anything I'd be more excited to do.
You mentioned it just then about you don't always have the support of the community. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
So I think it's no secret that that my predecessor, I think, had a bit of a rough landing when he first arrived here. I think in his exit interview, which I think he did one with Burr News. So then I read the one, in the Royal Gazette. I think he definitely felt a bit like Bermuda wasn't always behind him.
And that was the politics, wasn't mm-hmm. it? I was actually going to come on to that because there was a quote from him, which is very telling. There should be no politics in tourism. And it's of great consternation to me that tourism has been so politicized in Bermuda. It causes mm-hmm. real damage and does not help anyone. Mm-hmm. Is that when you're referring to the support of the community?
So I think Bill was wrong when he used the word politics there. I think in a place like Bermuda, in some respects, everything is politics. This island is really too small for anything to be genuinely objective. There was always an element of subjectivity, and therefore there's always an element of politics in everything. But I think what Bill really meant when he said politics get into everything is a little bit of what's underlying both our politics and people's attitude towards tourism is what I perceive and was very noticeable to me in coming back is that there's a certain cynicism and skepticism that creeps into everything, but especially into tourism. I'll give you an example, which is yesterday there was an article in the Royal Gazette about the reopening of the dining room at the lighthouse, and the owners and operators of that have done a fantastic job. They've renovated the space. There's an almost new kitchen. It looks beautiful, and the comments online are really not supportive. There are people questioning the cleanliness. There are people complaining about changes to the menu. It's disappointing to see. And I think we should really all try and be a little bit more optimistic about tourism in particular and our community in general.
So how are you going to change that? So that's a very important job for mm-hmm. you, because if they're not behind you, yeah. they're not behind the product.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I do believe that one of the most important things we need to do here is that we do need to try and rally the community around us and around tourism. So, you know, I think the onus is on us to make the case for why people should support us. And I think the proof is a little bit in the results. So, you know, I can certainly understand why, you know, when it was 1 month of good news, we were like, that's 1 month. When it was 3 months of good news, we were still skeptical. 6 months of good news, you know, we're now at a point where we say, well, 2016 was a huge success. And that's pretty irrefutable. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if we can maintain the momentum in 2017, and I think if we can really inspire people through things like the America's Cup and all the other events that are happening around that, we have a real opportunity to get Bermudians excited again about tourism.
Because one of the issues, maybe, I don't know if you agree with this, was that sometimes the BTA appeared to be used as a bit of a political football. You said that Mr. Hanbury is wrong to say politics, but that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you reached out to all the politicians of both sides?
I have. So one of the things that I want to do in the first couple of months is really meet with all the stakeholders involved in our industry and all of the partners that we have. So those include our agency partners overseas. That includes our tourism partners here on the island. So I've been going hotel by hotel. Wanting to try their food, see their best rooms, see their worst rooms, actually. This morning I was out with one of our tour operators trying out a new experience that we have, which is the Sea Breacher.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to reach out to everybody, and of course, yes, that includes our politicians, so both the government, both the ministry that we directly liaison with, and the others that we touch, as well as the opposition.
Are you a political animal?
I'm not. I am not really interested in politics. And that was one of the reasons that this job appealed to me so much, was that this was an opportunity to be directly involved in serving Bermuda and doing a good thing for our community without having to become directly involved in politics.
You mentioned 2016. It was an outstanding year, relatively, mm-hmm. for tourism. We're going to see the America's Cup. We'll come on to that later on. We've seen emphasis on the younger generation, on sports marketing. We're seeing the triathlons mm-hmm. coming. We've seen more sailing events coming. What next?
Mm-hmm.
What's your vision?
So the vision, I think, at this point is it sounds a bit cliche. It's to say more of the same. So, you know, we're on a journey, and that journey isn't done. So none of the things that my predecessor started are finished. So, you know, all the things that you just described are incredibly important, and they're all in flight. So there will come a time when it's right to rethink the National Tourism Plan, to really define a vision that goes beyond 2020, which is, I think, what's outlined in the National Tourism Plan. You know, we will have a moment when we need to look beyond that.
But you'll be doing that, right? Because you're here for 3 years. You got a 3-year contract.
So it's a three-year contract. I'm certainly really glad to be home, and I think of this as a permanent move. You know, whether or not I'll still be the right leader for this organization in 3 years or not, I don't know. I certainly hope so. You know, I'd like to stay until the job is done.
But what I meant, sorry, is you mentioned about the National Tourism Plan for 2020. Yeah. You're going to be heavily involved in that, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. So, you know, my background is heavily in management consulting, strategy development, helping organizations really think about how they unlock growth. And one of the mistakes that organizations typically make is that they constantly rethink their strategy. So, you know, here at Bermuda Tourism, there's a strategy that's in place. That strategy is working. That strategy will evolve and be adjusted, but actually my first priority is that we need to continue the journey that we're on, and we need to deliver 2017, you know, and then we'll think about the future.
David Dodwell, the chairman of the BTA, was quoted as saying that you are a leader in cutting-edge digital marketing strategy. Is that something you're going to bring to the BTA? Is something else that needs to happen?
So that's a good example of where that's the journey that the BTA is already on, mm-hmm. And that the team has already got experience in and was heading in the direction of. I hope that my experience and my background complements that and will help them go deeper and go further. But that's not a fundamental change of direction for the BTA. I also think that people often misunderstand what we mean when we talk about digital marketing. So people tend to think that really is just shorthand for the future is only about social media, that it's all about Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Those things are important social channels, but they're not all that we're talking about when we talk about digital marketing and digital media. I mean, what we're really talking about is the way in which technology actually transforms all elements of marketing and everything that we do. So technology and big data, for example, are one way in which we can continue to do print media, we can continue to do out-of-home advertising, but do it in a much more targeted and sophisticated way that's underpinned by technology, mm-hmm. that makes it much more cost-effective for someone with a small budget like Bermuda.
So is that going to be a particularly more focus, do you think, for your point of view?
I think that's going to be an ongoing focus for us. I mean, it's again no secret that everyone holds us to a very high standard for return on investment.
And we've got a very limited budget.
We have a limited budget. So, it's important that money is spent as effectively as possible. And technology and digital marketing are the ways in which we can do that.
Just on the budget, the budget is around the corner. Are you lobbying for more money? Did you expect to get more money?
So we've put in our budget request, which is a mix of what we expect to get in revenue from the BTA fee, which mm-hmm. today is paid by visitors staying in hotels directly, and is directly correlated to the number of visitors who come. So we've an estimate of that. And then today we're dependent on a government grant for the rest of our budget. So we have a challenge, which is that our budget year runs January to December, which is actually prescribed by the Bermuda Tourism Authority Act. While of course the government financial year runs on a different schedule. So we have gone into 2017 with a budget that we believe delivers the kind of growth that Bermuda needs and wants, and the kind of activity that you're expecting from us. That budget does require a small increase in the grant that we've asked government for, but we, like everyone else, will have to wait and see what Minister Richards is able to do for us.
You mentioned the fee there. Now, last week, the Transport and Tourism Minister, Michael Fay, mentioned in context of Airbnb of a fee. Would that fee go to the BTA then?
So that's a good question. One of the things that we talk about quite openly is that we believe that the cost of promoting Bermuda tourism or promoting Bermuda around the world and the other work that we do here on the island, things like national standards, should be borne by all visitors. So we think a fair and equitable approach should be that all visitors contribute to the cost of the BTA. That's not us asking for additional money. That's us rethinking the way in which we're funded. Mm-hmm. We think, and our hotel partners think, that it's a bit unfair that the only direct revenue to the BTA comes from visitors staying in hotels. So we've been very open about that view. I think we said that at a meeting organized by the opposition last week. We have certainly said that many times to the minister. So, his statement last week said that the ministry was going to start to explore the ways in which the industry might be appropriately lightly regulated, which we'd also support, and the way in which they might contribute to the cost. Whether or not those fees that they'd be paid would be the BTA fee, come to us, or whether or not they'd be some other form of government revenue is really for the government to decide.
Okay. Because it was in the context of saying level the playing field mm-hmm. With the hotels. Why is there a need to level the playing field with the hotels? Because mm-hmm. I actually know some people who use Airbnb, and they were quite annoyed.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the best way to think about that is, I think there are two sides to it. So I think there's thinking about it from a government perspective, and then there's us thinking about it from the BTA. So let's leave the government side of it aside, whether or not, you know, the occupancy and payroll tax paid by the hotels, but offset by the concessions that they get, you know, how that compares to the cost borne by a homeowner, you know, I think that really is a question for government. But when it comes to the BTA fee, I'd be quite open in saying that I believe that the work that the BTA is doing drives visitors to the island. Some of those visitors choose to stay in hotels. Some choose to stay in vacation rentals, many through Airbnb. Airbnb, as an example, are a partner who is more than willing to collect a fee from those visitors and remit it either to government or, mm-hmm. or directly to us. You know, I don't see why some visitors coming to Bermuda should pay that fee and others should not.
Is there a danger of making Bermuda less competitive?
I don't think so. I think that the idea that there is a tourism authority levy or fee is a pretty widely accepted one. In fact, it's one that Airbnb have employed on behalf of many jurisdictions right. that they operate in.
The same story mentioned that the BTA had done consultation with the Airbnb, the Hotel Association, Realtors, the public, etc. That was in the context of, I believe, the fee. Was there anything else that mm-hmm. was revealed in those consultations?
Yeah, no, so the consultation that was done was not really just about the fee.
Right.
The consultation that the operations division here at the BTA has led has really been around a much more holistic look at the vacation rental industry. So, you know, when we look at the world outside, we see that actually home sharing, vacation rental is a booming part of the global tourism marketplace. And actually, while there is some participation from Bermuda, we don't believe it's anything like what it could be. And so we actually started that consultation with a view to saying, how could we encourage more Bermudians to get involved? We think it's a great fit with what our younger, more experiential visitors want, which is a genuine experience, which is something that is a bit more experiential rather than just a beach holiday.
Yeah.
So we think it's a really good fit with what our visitor wants and a really good fit with who we are as Bermudians because we are known for our hospitality. So we think there's a really good fit, and yet the participation is not what it should be. So we started to look at it from that point of view, which then also, yes, gets into questions of, you know, are the taxes and fees fair between home rental and the hotels? Again, partly a question for us, partly a question for government. But you also then get into questions which we looked at around what kind of legal regulatory framework could or should exist for that industry. And some people say, you know, government, keep your hands off that. You know, everything is fine as it is.
It's extremely well self-regulated.
So I don't know that I entirely agree with you, actually. I believe it is
I see a review, so there's a cockroach there. I'm going to turn the page.
So I agree with you. In that respect, it is well self-regulated. If a place is not aesthetically appealing, if it's not as advertised, that will come out in user reviews. How many user reviews have you ever seen that said the smoke detector worked well and the fire extinguisher was in clear view? Because I've never seen that in an Airbnb review. And I do believe that actually basic health and safety standards are something that we should look at when it comes to Airbnb rentals. If we had a visitor family die in a fire and it turned out that there had been no oversight and that no one had required a fire extinguisher or a smoke detector, I don't think that would reflect well on Bermuda.
Just going back, you said you want to encourage more of this. How are you going to encourage more of it?
So I think we can encourage more of it first by bringing it out of the gray zone or the shadows that exists in today. Today, you know, many of our homeowners are operating who do open their homes to people like Airbnb are operating in what's at best a gray zone and sometimes actually directly contradictory to Bermuda's laws. And that's because our laws and our regulatory environment haven't kept up. So I think, first of all, by modernizing our regulatory approach, we can bring it out into the light. We can provide clear guidelines about what you need to do in order to participate. We can make it easy for people to do that. And then here at the BTA, we can help market and promote it as a viable option for our visitors.
Of course, they've got to get here. And one of the perennial issues is connections. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more and bigger flights mm-hmm. from the States. We've only got one connection with Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you guys are going to look at?
It is. So we work with the Department of Airport Operations and the Ministry around developing Bermuda's route network. And the BTA have taken on some of the strategic responsibility for our relationships with our airlines. So, you know, last year was an enormous success when it comes to developing routes off the East Coast. Mm-hmm. You know, so we had a 43% increase in capacity from New York, mm-hmm. and we saw a 47% increase in visitor numbers from New York. So when people try to tell me that there's no correlation between air supply and demand, I don't believe them. I believe there is, and I think we can prove it. And I think we've had a lot of success where we've got deep relationships with an airline in helping them see the value in Bermuda. Where I think we've had considerably less success has been where we don't have those airline relationships. So Europe is a great example. We have British Airways. British Airways are clearly pretty comfortable with the arrangement they have with Bermuda. It's profitable for them. It's not competitive. And I don't think we should be satisfied with that. But I think doing anything about it is challenging today. You know, people believe that there is some sort of collusion between us and British Airways to maintain what people call monopoly there. I can tell you categorically that it's not true, and that we push British Airways quite aggressively for we'd like to see that flight move to Heathrow. We'd like to see a bigger plane. And yes, we'd like competition on that route. But today we don't have an airline partner that we are sufficiently advanced with to say that that's a realistic possibility in the short run.
But you're going to pursue that, are you?
We will continue to pursue that, yes. That is not a new effort.
Understood. Mm-hmm. But you're the new CEO.
Yep.
So people want to know if you're pursuing that, because it's not a new effort, but it's not a new complaint either.
That's right. So a member of our team and someone from the Department of Air Operations is actually going to the main conference for route development in mid-February. And, you know, we have a list of the airlines we want to talk to, and we'll see where we get to with them. But that will be challenging.
Another thing that's probably going to be challenging to Bermuda, I imagine, because of the sheer number of people coming, is going to be the America's Cup. From your point of view, is this a game changer for tourism in Bermuda, or is it a step along the route to increasing tourist numbers?
I think the answer actually is that it's a little bit of both. So I think what the America's Cup has the potential to do is turbocharge the trajectory that we're already on. You know, by itself, is it transformational? No. But in the context of a situation where Bermuda is already rising, where, as our chairman said, the buzz is back, where we are on everybody's lists of places that you should visit in 2017, it has the opportunity to accelerate that repositioning of Bermuda. I think one of the things that's most challenging for us is to do a little bit of expectation management is not quite the right word, but I'll use it anyway, around the America's Cup and where and when we see the benefits of that. I do believe that there's going to be an enormous economic benefit in 2017. I believe we should see a lift in visitor numbers related to the America's Cup in 2017. However, some of those visitors will be displacing leisure visitors that would have come anyway. But the biggest opportunity and where we'll see the longest term benefit is actually from the exposure that Bermuda will get as a result of being a host. So this is the first America's Cup that's really been made for television and will be on stage. And so for me, it's yes about the economic benefit in 17 and about the visitor numbers in 17, but it's much more about what that exposure and the show that we put on can do for Bermuda in 18, 19, 20 than it is about just 17.
The legacy is massively important, and I want to come back to that. But first of all, you're saying some of the regular visitors, leisure visitors, might get displaced. How are bookings going? It's a constant question, obviously, because people want to know if everybody's sold out.
So bookings are strong. We do have some anecdotal evidence of other leisure visitors either pushing their vacations earlier or later, or in some cases saying, you know, we'll see you in 2018, which is still not a bad thing if those visitors return and we still get new visitors to Bermuda in 17. So we can work with that. Bookings are strong. Bermuda is not sold out. We still have space in our hotels. We still have spectator packages available. We wouldn't have expected to be sold out at this point either. All of our evidence says that people will typically book 90 to 60 days right. out. So we're coming into what we expect to be the busiest booking
right.
season. What we are seeing is a different pattern of booking, perhaps, than we are used to. So this is very normal for a large sporting event, but it's new to Bermuda. So typically in the summer, we see people coming from Saturday to Saturday. Mm-hmm. And what we get with America's Cup, of course, is that people are coming around the racing that they want to see.
Right.
So we see a bit more of an irregular booking pattern, which it can be a bit of a challenge because we then need to infill the shoulder nights, if you want, to the big parts of the event. And one of the things that we're working on here at the BTA is looking at how we use a calendar of other events and all the other activity that would be going on in Bermuda in May and June as a way of making sure that we attract non-sailing visitors and that we get the visitors that are here for the America's Cup to stay longer, fill those gaps, open their wallets, spend more on the island. So that's something that we're working on really actively.
As of today, are you where you hope you would be or where you expected you would be?
I think we are. I think, you know, it's a question where you could direct that to any of the hoteliers as well. And, you know, I think, again, this is new to us. So I think some people might have had expectations that we'd be, you know, 100% sold out a year in advance. That's never realistic for something like this. So I'm very comfortable with where we are.
I mentioned the legacy. Again, I want to come on to that. But one thing is we are expecting, hoping that we're going to be crammed full of tourists, mm-hmm. hopefully, visitors. Are you satisfied that, generally speaking, Bermuda has the infrastructure?
Mm-hmm. So am I satisfied that we have the infrastructure? Yes, I am. I think we have everything that we need here on the island, or we will do. So there's been a lot of work that's been going on between ACBDA and the BTA to make sure that all the industry partners that are going to be involved in the America's Cup understand the expectations and understand the demands that are going to be placed on them, and that they plan ahead. So, of course, the meeting that's going on here behind us is actually about that right now. So, you know, am I confident in that? Yes, I am. Where I think we have the most work to do actually is around service standards and expectations. So the BTA has been working hard for some time now to raise quality standards on the island, set minimum service standards, to develop training.
Right.
That, as we bring more people back into the tourism and hospitality industry, provides the training that they need in order to provide the level of service that our visitors expect. And I do believe that the America's Cup will challenge us on that because we're, of course, bringing in quite an affluent traveler. We're bringing in, of course, the super yachts with their expectations. And I do believe we have some work to do between now and May to raise our game a little bit to what they expect and what will create the kind of experience that will bring them back again.
So with all that hard work, all that planning, what went through your mind when there was a threat to it?
I think the threat was unfortunate. I think it was ill-timed. But if it was on people's minds, I'm glad we raised it now. And I think that actually having spoken earlier about the role that community support can play, I was actually really encouraged to see the polling results afterwards about how Bermuda's community actually felt about that and really the strong rejection of that. I think the America's Cup, for the reasons I've outlined, is critical to all of our futures, not just because of what it will do in 17, but because of that exposure that we'll get. And I am obviously not in favor of anything that's going to risk the show that we put on and the image that we project to the world.
We did a Bernie Hughes and I did an interview with the Premier last week, and one of the things I asked about was the legacy and how to cater for what's going to be an enormous hangover, potentially. Mm-hmm. In terms of legacy planning, what's going on?
So legacy planning, I think, again, is something you can think about in a couple of different ways. So I think legacy planning and thinking about what will we do with Cross Island, what will we do with the facilities. I think when you're talking about the hangover, you know, you are clearly alluding to the cost.
No, not just the cost, but no, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So legacy in terms of what will we do with those buildings? You know, how will we generate an economic return? I think that's a question really for ACBDA and WEDCO, although we're an active participant in them.
But you've got an active interest.
We do, but for us the interest is, the legacy interest is much more the what it will do for brand Bermuda. And that legacy benefit is a little bit more intangible, but what we do with it is also a little bit clearer. So for us, with responsibility for promoting Bermuda as a destination, the America's Cup gives us, you know, a real push in that repositioning of Bermuda and that idea that we are, for lack of a better label, the comeback kid of tourism, which has enormous value as we promote Bermuda to individual visitors. And it actually gives us a huge shot in the arm as well for things like sports tourism in having proven that Bermuda can be a great host for a mid-size event. So, you know, that legacy, I think it's very clear what we will do here at the BTA with it.
Just going on, other legacies perhaps, is in terms of bricks and mortar. Mm-hmm. Do you think it might spur more hotels? Are we going to see more hotels?
So, the event itself, no. A single America's Cup event, clearly
economic benefit.
The legacy would be, you know, if we're able to capitalize on that exposure, you know, if we're able to sustain the momentum that we have in tourism today, which is partly underpinned by the America's Cup, then yes, you know, rising demand will create new supply as our hotel occupancy rates rise back towards profitable levels. We're not there yet. We're still not at a point where most of our hotels are really profitable. But as hotel occupancy returns to profitable levels, that will spur both investment in the supply that we've got, so renewing some of our existing hotels, as well as new hotel development.
Airport is always on everybody's mind at the moment, it seems. You weighed in with a column on Bernie Hughes yesterday, I believe. Why did you feel the need to weigh in?
So we weighed in because we believe that at the BTA, we are here to represent the tourism industry, and we're here to speak for our visitor, who otherwise doesn't have a voice. So what we said this week, we tried to say from the perspective, really, of the visitor and the industry. And we did feel that we had a responsibility to speak for them. And we believe very strongly that first impressions do matter. We know that from the research that's done that actually when you're traveling, your height of excitement, the moment of greatest expectation when you're a visitor, is on arrival. Believe it or not, it actually peaks at the airport for us. And our airport doesn't set the right first impression. And that is not to say that people plan their vacations around where has a really nice airport. No. That is obviously patently ridiculous. They also don't say, I'm not coming back because the airport was horrible. But that first impression sets the tone, and it's something that everyone else in our tourism industry then has to work an uphill battle to combat. So because our airport is shabby, it frames the perspective from which people see the rest of Bermuda. And we'd very much like to see that addressed. So, you know, we believe, however it happens, that a new airport is needed. We also believe that there is a real risk in the current airport operation. So, you know, when we sit here and we look at, you know, what could upset 2017 for us, what could knock us off our upward trajectory and our momentum, there are clearly a number of risks. Some of them are beyond our control. You know, what will Brexit mean? What does Donald Trump mean? You know, those are beyond our control. But actually, one of the clearest risks is that actually if our airport were to become inoperable for a week, 2 weeks, a month, either because it was damaged by a storm or the roof collapsed or it turns out that part of the building is unsafe, that would have a meaningful impact on tourists and on our wider economy. So we do believe that there is some urgency to address the airport. And so, you know, we tried to come out clearly on those points. We also believe, as we've talked about, you asked about travelers from Europe, we believe that we would benefit from having partners to help operate our airport who have the level of relationships with some of the airlines that we'd like to target that we don't today.
What do you mean by that? Sorry.
So what I mean by that is, you know, we have a great relationship with JetBlue. When we want to talk about why Bermuda is important and what kind of opportunity we see for JetBlue and Bermuda, we can go to their CEO, and we have that level of relationship with them. When you talk about, wouldn't it be nice to see some competition for BA, say, well, we don't have that kind of relationship with Virgin Atlantic, with Lufthansa, with Air France. Because we're not existing partners, we don't really have the level of access to have those strategic right. conversations. So figuring out how to get in the door is tough from where we sit today. So we do believe that Bermuda would benefit from having partners who do have those kind of relationships.
Just to wrap up, the tourism industry, it is a numbers-driven industry. That's, people want to see the bottom line. They want to see mm-hmm. money spent. To put you on the spot, forecast?
My forecast for this year is continued growth. So putting an exact number on it is hard because of the America's Cup. We are seeing a different kind of visitor with a different pattern than we're typically used to. It makes our forecasting difficult. So at this point, I'd say, you know, if we don't continue to grow, we've clearly done something very wrong. And if we aren't in a good trajectory to maintain that growth into 18, then we've done something very wrong. But my forecast for this year would be that we'll keep doing what we're doing and that we'll continue on that same upward trajectory that we're on. Of course, as our absolute numbers grow, the percentages will become smaller. You know, off the back of 2015, some of our louder critics have pointed out that it was easier, relatively easier, to deliver the large percentage increases that we did in 16. You know, one of the things that Bill has left us with is an enormous challenge for 17 because we did so relatively well in 16. So an exact number is hard to say, but continued growth.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Burr News Current Affairs Podcast with Jeremy Deacon. Listen at your leisure on www.burrnews.com, your 24/7 Bermuda news source.